Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
It's an interesting idea, though. At the table. I remember Vrindavan, Padma Lokshmi was running the kitchen, and then after the noon cooking, I think in the evening they only did milk or something, so in the coals and he stick potatoes. So by the evening they were ready. You know? Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 18, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Sri Vrindavan. Page 48. Page 92. No? No, okay.
42.
Page 17. Okay. No. 218, 112 to 115. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. A sannyasi in the renounced order is certainly part and parcel of the complete whole, just as a shining molecular particle of sunshine is part and parcel of the sun itself. Krishna is like the sun, full of six opulences, but the living entity is only a fragment of the complete whole. A living entity and the absolute personality of Godhead are never to be considered equal. Just as a fragmental spark can never be considered the original flame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Hladini and Sambit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. Interesting. Treasure house of tribulations. Right? Footnote 17. This quotation of Vishnu Swami is cited in Sridhar Swami's Bhavarta Deepika commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 176. A foolish person who says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the same as a living entity is an atheist, and he becomes subject to punishment by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj. Right? Because only Vaishnavas, they don't see Yamaraj. Everybody else will see Yamaraj. Right? And so definitely someone who's atheistic, then they're definitely going to be seeing him. Like that.
Maharaj, actually Yamaraj doesn't see other species. He only sees human beings. In other words, human beings, he only sees those who are outside the Varnashram.
He sees those who are not devotees. Only Vaishnavas, he doesn't take care of, because Krishna himself takes care. Right? Because it's a super soul, then he arranges it with the material energy. So that means all the pious, means everybody who's going to the heavenly planets or this or that, he sees all of them. So all the pious, all the impious, anybody who's not a devotee, he sees. Because the animals, it's already, you're going to be, you know, let's say this for 100 lifetimes. So that's already arranged. He's the one who just judges what you'll get. You know, what's appropriate for what you've done, because there's going to be such a combination of all the different things. So how to get which species of life, how much time, what was the intensity of what you've done wrong. So therefore, how many lifetimes is this or that? And then, because someone's not going to go at any one time through all of them. But from the place where their consciousness is at, where that would be to progress back to human, then they'll go through a certain number of them. Does that make sense? A certain number of species of life, and then certain volume of how many times within that. So he has to work that out, you know, that it's fitting, because that's the point. The material nature is always exact. It's never unjust. So if someone is in a particular, that's because exactly the God, like here, you have this papaya tree here. So notice the leaves up at the top, they're all nice and green, but the ones on this side and the ones on that side have a problem because they don't get sun. So that means here these four leaves aren't getting sun, so they're withering up. But the other ones are fine because they're getting sun. Now, that was placed exactly right there, that was arranged. Material nature arranges that because they could have been somewhere else where they got more sun. Or they could have been in a place where they get less sun. You know, it could be harder dirt, lesser dirt, dirt that's taken care of, not taken care of. You know, more sandy, less, you know. So that's the kind of thing that they all work out. So you find a blade of grass at a certain place on the sidewalk, it's supposed to be at that place. It's not an accident. So that's what Yamaraj does. Yeah, no, it's a serious job. That's why... Yes. And that's why he's empowered to be able to deal. He sees all living entities in the universe. And so he can see where they are because they're all connected back to the human. And so even they're going through the animal species and that, they're going through because of what they did as a human. So that's the thing. He's empowered to see all that. Just as Brahma can see everything for a creation. So he can see everything for all those living entities. And then Maya is controlling it. Like that. So it's a very big operation, you know.
Filing system.
Yeah, well, that's what Chitragupta is. He's the filing system. Yes?
Russian question.
Yes, Russian question.
When he gives darshan, is it a group darshan or a personal darshan?
Oh, boy. So Russian, is he going to send me the hellish question? Is it going to be personal, or is I'm just going to be thrown in with a bunch of other duffers? You know?
Yeah, it's
personal.
Huh? Personal.
It's in the court. So he's there with his people, but he's going to deal with one person at a time. Doesn't mean that there's not a whole bunch of guys standing behind you, but he deals with everybody one at a time.
It's a
cube. I'm sure there's some way it's worked out. You know, that means that there's somebody just being picked up by the Yamadutas. There's others that are on the path. There's people that are trying to get across the river. There are people that are stuck in the river, you know, like that. So, you know. I'm sure it's worked out. So but depending upon who's coming before him, he takes different forms. So if they're very sinful, he'll take a very, very unpleasant form.
And others in court, they will see that form, or they will see.
I'm not sure if they need to see that. You know, I'm sure that they know what's going on. Yeah. But otherwise, he has his court and, you know, has his, all his people that are with him, just like a king. The king sits in his court and does judgments, so it's the same. So he has his hall where he does all these things. So if you're pious, then you see his, you know, like his demigod form. And if you're impious, then you see a more rough and ready form.
So there's no persecutor, there's no witness calling.
No, it's all there. It's all been witnessed. No, the witnesses have already given their thing. So it's just going on the sun, the moon, the fire, the earth, the air, you know, like that. They've all given their testimony. And so all that's there, that's what Chitragupta takes care of. So then they pull out the file. That was the problem with Jagai Madhai, because the files are so big that they didn't know what to do with the guy. So therefore, if Lord Chaitanya didn't save him, they didn't even know what to do with him. So that was the specialty. Like that. But we see, like, you know, King Riga comes. He's dealt with, you know, there. So anytime it is, it's one at a time. How he arranges all that, that's his potency.
And there are many different groups of Yamadutas, at
least. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're always out on tour. You know how someone becomes a Yamaduta? Since we're into Russian questions. Is the Pitris that have gone to Pitri Loka, right? They're pious enough to get to Pitri Loka. But the descendants don't offer pinda. So the pinda is their food for a year. That's why you do every year the pinda, they get fed for a year. You know, and different things. You can give shoes, umbrellas, all these different things you can give. And so they have stuff for a year. You know, so even you give just those two rice balls, that expands into a year's worth of food. So that's the whole thing. So there are, then you see, many, they stop doing that. Right? So then they're stuck there with no food and all that. So when they get strange enough, you know, from not having anything and being upset, because if they're in Petri Loka, means they're religious. So they're going to be most freaked out about how they're not, the descendants aren't being religious. It's against the rules. And so that freaks them out. And from all that and the mentality, you know, it's just like when somebody gets too disturbed and all that, they start to look funny and stuff. So these guys start to look like the pictures in the Bhagavatam. So when they get to that point, then Yamaraj says, okay, you do this service as Yamadutas. And then from that, they get a cut of the pindas. And they can maintain themselves for however long they're supposed to be there.
And the more people they catch, they get a commission.
That I'm not sure if they get commissions. But for them, it's the satisfaction of going and either collecting, escorting pious people because they're proper,
right,
or going and harassing impious people because they're very upset that their descendants have become impious because they themselves are pious people. So they very much appreciate the judicious aspect of, you know, bothering the bad people.
So they're very biased towards their irreligious rites?
No, it's just they don't appreciate someone not being religious. Like you see, is that the Yamaduta is with Ajamil. He's a sinful guy. He should be going to hell. But then he's not. You know, because he's chanted the holy name. And how does this one holy name counteract all the nonsense that this guy's done? And so that's why then Yamaraj explains that, because the point of human life is not piety, it's actually going back to Godhead. So if you do anything that's actually in that line, that's then where, that's the real thing. So that's why he doesn't come to him. That's why they have to take him back. You know, or they couldn't take him in the first place, because they like that. So they're just, it's about properly following Dharma and religion and all that. So they're religious people. They're not devotional. Right? They're religious enough to be there. Like that. So they're pious. They, you know, they belong there. Because he's the Lord of Dharma and they know how to behave. So then they're there. Like
yeah,
that.
Because when they have the confrontation with the Vishnu Dutas, they're very philosophical.
Yeah, yeah. Because they know Shastra. They're pious people. It's just that their descendants weren't pious enough to take care of them, so therefore then they fall into trouble, fall on hard times, you know. And so then they're the ones that you know, take the people up the top of the mountain, toss them off, or, you know, like that, or, you know, sew the needles through and then pull on the threads, you know, they do all that stuff. You know, they're good cooks, you know. Yeah. So that's because they come and they can either be in a nice form or in that really, really disturbing form. The same with the dogs. The dogs, if it's a pious person, they go in front and, you know, to lead the way. And if they're not, then they harass them all the way down.
Those, the three heads?
Yeah, three heads, so you don't really get away from those guys. Like that. And I don't think you can play harp music and they'll fall asleep. Yeah. So is that good for a Russian question?
Yeah.
Only problem is,
I've got stories to tell.
Yeah, but I can't imagine what questions will come up from that.
You know. Then I send people just to read Garuda Purana. They want to know more.
Is a post. Is a post, yes. So 14 times in a day of Brahma, it changes.
Is Mahajana like a post?
No, not necessarily the Mahajans. Means our, means in this time, ours is, you know, so whether, because it's not that he doesn't stay, but in any case, these are, It might be also just great devotees take up that post. That I haven't seen. But the point is it's 72, you know, yuga cycles. So it's, you know, it's a few million years. You know, so I mean, 432,000 times 71. You know, so, you know, it's some hundreds of millions. So then, like that, they're there. So it's, they're always changing. So the post will be filled, you know, it's basically, when Indra changes, they all change. So that's 500,000, 504,000, I think, that there are Indras in a lifetime of Brahma. So it's a lot going on. You know, for us, it's a long time. Imagine Brahma, 14 times in a day, the administration changes. And that's in the day. But, you know, night, they're all, you know, everybody's, you know, there's devastation. So that means in 12 hours. So that basically means every muhurta, you know, there's a change.
Everyone change.
Yeah, now everybody, all the positions change. You know, so Indra, Vayu, you know, how you say? Yes. You know, Kuvera, you know, everybody. They all change.
So, have to get attached?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like us. We're only here 100 years. You know, that compared to, we're talking about that, that's, you know, what do we say? 280 million years, then they're there, and then they change. And we're you know, we're attached to our 100 years. So. You know. So that's the whole thing. I mean, you said the ant's attached to his positions. Prabhupada says everybody lives 100 years. It's just that their time is different. So that's the fun part. You think, wow, it's so long. That would be great. But for them, it's 100 years. Just so their experience is like ours. Ours 100 years, how it goes, that's what it is for them. So that's the part that the Karmakanda sections don't talk about. Right? You know, that's in the Gyanakanda sections. Yeah? Okay. Back to transcendence. Okay. Oh, up here. That's right, because he did mention Yamaraj. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the word Pashandi refers to one who considers the living entity under the control of the illusory energy to be equal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anybody who says we're all God, that's a Pashandi. You know, to be equal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead was transcendental to our material qualities. Another kind of Pashandi is one who does not believe in the spirit soul. Right? So then that'll be the, you know, any other, the Buddhist and anybody who follows in that kind of line. Okay. One who does not believe in the spirit soul, the superior potency of the Lord, and therefore does not distinguish between spirit and matter. While describing one of the offenses against chanting the holy names, specifically the offense called Shruti Shastra Nindana, blaspheming the Vedic literature, Jiva Goswami states in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Yata Pashanda Margena Data Treyar Shabha Devo Pashakanam Pashandinam. Worshippers of impersonalists like Dattatreya are also Pashandis. Concerning the offense of Aham Mama Buddhi or Dehatma Buddhi, considering the body to be the self, Jiva Goswami states, Deva Dravinadi Nimitaka Pashanda Shabdena Cha Dasa Paradha Eva Lakshyante Pashanda Mayatvat Tesham. Those who are overly absorbed in the conception of the body and the bodily necessities are also called Pashandis, because they completely forget. So, yeah. Elsewhere in the Bhaktisandarbha it is stated, Udishya devata eva juhoti cha dadhati cha sapashanditi vigyaya svatantro vapi karmasu. A prashandi is one who considers the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be one. Therefore, a prashandi worships any kind of demigod as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. One who disobeys the orders of the spiritual master is also considered a prashandi. The word prashandi has been described in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam, including 4.2, 28, 30, and 32, 5, 6, 9, and 12, 2, 13, and 3, 43. On the whole, a prashandi is a non-devotee who does not accept the Vedic conclusions. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 117, there's a verse quoted from the Padma Purana describing the prashandi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse as the following text. Right? So, basically, so we see in the Vedic consideration, it's mentality that's important. It's not the position or birth or that. You can be very pious and still be a prashandi. You can be a karmi, pious karmi, be a prashandi. You can be a jnani. You can be a yogi, anything. You can be a prashandi. Or, yes, naturally a sinful person or someone completely absorbed in the bodily consciousness. So prashandi is a mentality, just like Aryan means someone who understands the soul and about the higher position of life. That means you understand your relationship with God. So technically you can only be an Aryan if you accept the relationship of the soul and their position in relationship with God. That's an Aryan. Like that. It probably makes the point about the Arya Samaj that they say they're Aryans, but they don't accept the personality of Godhead, so technically they're not Aryans. They're prashandis. Like that. Does that make sense?
What do they call themselves? Arya Samaj. Why do they call themselves like that?
Because they're taking that Aryan means that you're following the Vedas and...
Advanced,
yeah, you're advanced in like this and that. You know, just like other certain personalities, east of the Danube or north of the Danube, and they also were considering in this way because they were advanced.
Right.
And that, but the point is no, unless you are accepting the personality of Godhead and the relationship with the Jiva and understand this, that's an Aryan. Aryan means one who's advanced in spiritual knowledge. So prashandi means the opposite. One who actually, they may be advanced in religiousness or in austerity or in knowledge, but they're not accepting the personality of Godhead and their relationship of the soul with them, with the Lord. So that's what makes them a prashandi. And we see even here, someone who doesn't, that to establish yourself in that position, you follow the direction of the spiritual master. So it's those who reject that also, they're prashantis. So it basically means a term where someone is not progressive in spiritual life, in actual spiritual life. Because these others, that they're following, it's religious life that's not actually spiritual. Means you call impersonalist transcendentalists because they're attempting for that platform, they'll temporarily be there. But let us say you have an established wealthy family. What's that one we always mention? It's a Rockefeller, but the other one's Rothschild. And so then, now let's say somebody comes up, he becomes really, really wealthy for, some months or something, or a couple of years, and then loses everything. Will they actually consider him a wealthy person? No. So that's the whole point, is that you can't, it means they're called transcendentalists because, as far as others are concerned, that's what they're endeavoring for, that's what their goal is. But as far as really actually being transcendental, they're not. They're prashantis. Because they're not accepting the relationship with the Lord. But we see the Atmaramas coming in contact with the bona fide, they accept it. While you see these others come in contact and they reject it. So that then they become bona fide prashantis. So it's a mentality. So the Vedic, it's about mentality that's important. It's not the position. It's not what you are in the Varnashram, because these are religious aspects. It's what is your relationship and understanding of yourself and the Lord. That's what defines.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a nice definition. He says passive hostility and active hostility.
Oh.
So karma is basically hostile but actively hostile.
Okay.
And the Mayavadis, they are passive hostile, but still both hostile.
Both are hostile, yeah. Yeah. Because every living entity wants to be the Lord. That's why so easily you can say that and people don't mind it. You know, you say that, you know, you're God, I'm God, we're all God, and the people are kind of cool with that. But if you say that you have to surrender to God and you know, follow God's laws, that now you, that, you know, only a few people might appreciate. So that's, yeah. And even if you surrender, as long as God takes care of me and gives me what I want.
Dr. Triya has mentioned, is it the incarnation of God?
Yeah, but he means the impersonalist. It doesn't mean, it's just like Buddha is the Lord.
Yes.
The followers are the ones that have the problem.
Yes. Did he preach something similar to Shankaracharya?
He's preaching impersonalism, not Mayavad.
Okay.
So it's just talking about coming to that platform of Brahman realization. So the impersonalist philosophy has always been there.
Yes.
It's just that in Kali Yuga, then Shankara makes it prominent. But it's Mayavad, so everything's illusion. But see, for an impersonalist, technically everything's Brahman.
Yes.
See, it's like Sukadeva Goswami, it's all Brahman. It's not that... It exists. It's just it's all Brahman. To think that it's something other than Brahman, to think that, you know, oh, this is my house, or this is my money, or this—that's the illusion. No, it's all Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So its only value is that is Brahman. And so if you're absorbed in that platform, you don't need a house, you don't need money, you don't need these things because you're absorbed in Brahman. But the point is they're not seeing their relationship with the Lord. They accept that they're Brahman. And they accept that Krishna's Brahman. But they don't see the relationship. So technically then you could say they're that aspect would be the lightest of the Pashandis. But by coming in contact with the Vaishnavas, you see they get attracted because they are factually liberated. You know, in the temporary sense. But as far as, you know, we're concerned here, they're liberated. You know what I'm saying? Some of the Vyasti, it's they're liberated. From Samasti, they're not liberated. You know, it's like you throw a ball up into the air, you know, you could say it's liberated, and then it comes back down. Does that make sense? Yeah. Chapter 18, verses 116 to 126. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayana is to be considered an offender or Pashandi. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the difference between an ordinary living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the people said, "No one considers you an ordinary human being. You are like Krishna in every respect, in both bodily features and characteristics. By your bodily features, we can see that you are none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj, although the golden luster of your body has covered your original complexion. As the aroma of deer musk cannot be concealed by wrapping it in a cloth, your characteristics as the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be concealed by any means. Indeed, your characteristics are uncommon and beyond the imagination of an ordinary living being. Simply by seeing you, the entire universe becomes mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. They see you just once, even women, children, old men, meat eaters, and members of the lowest caste immediately chant the holy name of Krishna, dance like madmen, and become spiritual masters capable of delivering the whole world. Apart from seeing you, whoever listens to your holy name is made mad with ecstatic love for Krishna and is able to deliver the three worlds. Simply by hearing your holy name, dog eaters become holy saints. Your uncommon potencies cannot be described in words. Quote, to say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog eaters becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. footnote 18. Srimad Bhagavatam 333, 6. These glories of yours are only marginal. Originally, you are the son of Nanda Maharaj Nanda. So these are just marginal. These are just aspects that come just from him being who he is. That's not the main glories. The main glories is his relationships with the Brajbasis and in loving exchange. That's the real thing. These things, just of him being the Supreme Lord in his position, that's on the side. Right? So, does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, the original characteristics of a substance are called swarup, and the subsequent corollaries are called tatastha lakshana, or marginal characteristics. It means the swarup is what is the original things that are there. Tatastha is what at this time you see this, at that time you see that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what we were talking about in the morning in the drama aspect, the Natya Shastras, that the characters that come on the stage, they present themselves and how they stand and, you know, do that opening, in you know, they're opening your first meeting them. Then that establishes what is their, you could say in this case, the sarup, what is the nature of them. Then throughout the drama, you'll see other, depending upon what happens, the tatastha lakshana has come up, but it still has that main flavor. While it's said that only in specialized dramas that are, you know, just dealing with a certain aspect, like we said, the Natika, that one, then, you might just only be dealing with the tatastha lakshana, and that becomes at least the main feature in that drama.
Yes,
yes. You understand? So Krishna, in his, then the main thing is there. Then creating the material world, right, that has these tatastha lakshanas. But that's not the main. As it's, you know, as Lakshmiji says, with 1/1,000,000,000th portion, the whole material, the whole Mahatattva is run. It's not that that's how it's in each thing. No, just to run them, that's all he needs to run it. So the real glory is there in the spiritual world, in the sarup. That's why you see Jiva Goswami then always goes back to the sarup. That's the source of everything. It's not that, oh, there's these qualities and then there's Krishna. No, there's Krishna, then these are his qualities. Is that... Yeah? The glories of the Lord's marginal characteristics prove him to be the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Nanda. As soon as one understands this, one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So just the marginal will establish him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. So the sarup, that's then, you know, what's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why we know these things, but that's not the focus. That's why we see our acharyas. They're the greatest scholars, but they're not. It's not about scholarship. You know? So this is what's difficult to understand about our line. Like you see, devotees go outside because they think they'll get knowledge there. You know, it's one thing you want to figure out how to fix your sink, so you call up the plumber. Okay, that's great. But it's thought that, oh, when it comes to Shastra, when it comes to religion, and when it comes to rituals, we have to go to others because, you know, we don't have much. It's what the Goswamis have given. No one's dealt on that technical level. Literally. It means what Jiva Goswami gives him, the Sandarbhas, no other acharya talks on that technical level. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. Not Ramanuja, not Madhva, not Nimbarka, not Vishnuswami. It's all following in the footsteps. But no one's that technical. But we think we have to go outside. Yes?
There's also, if we look at the philosophy, there's no need to establish Vishnu.
Yes.
It's not nearly as contradictory as Vishnu, as Krishna in Braj.
Yes.
Because Braja Krishna, he has all those qualities.
Yes.
So it's really difficult to figure him out.
That's why this is one time, once in a day of Brahma, this is offered. Because most people would rather have it more simple and like that.
Yeah. This morning, the example you gave of Vishnu, it's a fixed position, how
yes.
he stands, how he moves.
Yes.
But Krishna, it's all...
Yeah, Tribhanga, it's all that, Lalit. you know,
yeah,
like
that.
Yeah, so it matches with the gopis because they always move in lalita. You know, that's the. So it'll be refined, it'll be cultured, but it'll have that masculine element. You know, as the acharyas point out, is even though Krishna, his form, you know, our forms, the dham, everything is manifest through the potency of Sandini Shakti. But it doesn't mean you can't tell the difference. So you can tell Krishna, you can tell Radharani, because it's him. It's his energies why through he is himself, but we're able to appreciate through his shaktis. That's why you can't approach Krishna on your own. We think, oh, directly, and there's no question. You have to approach through his shaktis, because it's his shaktis that manifest everything. The dham is manifest by Sandini, the activities by Samvit, the taste by Vladi. Right, so you can only know him through his energies. Yeah. Yeah. So you can still tell the difference, you know, his masculine mood and the gopi's feminine mood. You know, like that. So that's the interesting. That's him. Only he can do that. Yeah. Okay. As soon as one... Okay. The glories of the Lord's marginal characteristics prove him to be the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Nanda. As soon as one understands this, one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. 2:18:127. So that's why, yeah, it means it's just we don't have a problem that he is the Supreme Personality of God. And we see Prabhupada when he's, you know, directing and when we're painting, then you have that hidden aspect, but at the same time it's there, is that all Vishnu deities all are wearing a peacock feather. In all our old paintings, I don't know if nowadays they leave it out, you know, but they all do, because it's Krishna who's coming. So you're bringing that aspect out. That is Krishna who's doing it. You know, we're getting, oh no, don't ruin his mood and this and that. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? Like that. You know, are we on that level that we're supporting the mood, you know? Yeah. You know.
There's a big controversy in the mood, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But it's unnecessary. Yeah, of course.
Take the peacock off.
Yeah, no, it's just as if that has any. Like I said, cows wear peacock feathers in Vrindavan. They all, you see, all the old Rajabasi painting and all. They're always they put those three and they put a thing around their head, tie it on their horns. There's three peacock feathers sticking out. The cowherd boys, as they go along, they pick them up. You know, in Kartik month when they drop all their feathers, you don't think the cowherd boys aren't picking them up? You know. You know, so it's these things that too much is made. Krishna always wears, you know, and so but they make it the no, he had this and that. That's the point. These are made up religions. These aren't real. They're not necessary. It's an interesting mood, but it's not our line. Otherwise, if Prabhupada had no problem with peacock feathers, like you see old Nisringa Dev, any of Vishnu comes down, you know, the eight arm form when he comes down to meet Indra, he always has to be God. So that's because that's how Prabhupada sees. Now, if you see other than that, and you can't see, no, he's separate from, and he's different, and all that, you can do that. I don't know what realm you'll end up in. It's not going to be Braj. Right? It's not going to be Braj. Because for them, they only see Krishna. You know, they'll deal with how he's dealing, like when the gopis saw Mahanarayan, then they deal with him in that form. But you see with Radharani, she's just, you know. And Krishna couldn't maintain. So if you want to be standing next to those persons, then follow that. And you want to be standing next to those ones who Krishna takes the form of Vishnu and they all think, oh, here's a different person, be my guest. Goloka is a very large place. But if you want to be standing with Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami and like that, keep the mood. No? It's a matter of what's the intent. What's the otherwise, what's the point? You know, it's very nice. Prabhupada is here. Gornitai are always dressed with peacock feathers. Every darshan Prabhupada took, a Gornitai, they all had peacock feathers. Suddenly, after Prabhupada's gone, then there were such Paramahamsas. Oh, no, no peacock feathers. What does it matter? Something unique that we do. Oh, where is the Shastra thing? Where is the Shastra thing that you say? Where is the Shastra thing that doesn't put you in this category that was mentioned on the previous page? You know, Prabhupada did it. Follow his example. What does it matter? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, if you don't want to put on your deities, that's fine. Who cares? That's how you're dealing with your deities, and you know who they are and everything, but then to preach it and make other people not, that's that we don't need. But if you personally feel like that and don't want it, then great, why not? But, you know, how you say, as we are, whatever we do, everybody else has to do it. That's the that's the strength and the weakness of the, how you say, the American glory. That if they're right on, they're going to make sure the whole rest of the world is pure devotees. And if they're off the track, everybody else has to be off the track in the same way. They're not going to be alone in this. You know, so that's the difficulty. Yeah. 218-127.
It seems that what we read the last page about, there are many types of prashandi.
There's many types, yes.
So it seems that if a person is not guided by a bona fide spiritual master, acharya, the tendency is to become prashandi.
Basically, you can say, except for those in the bona fide Vaishnav lines, basically everybody else is prashandi. So you have, basically have Vaishnavs and prashandis.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise, if they're not Vaishnav, who are they worshipping?
Yes.
Why are they worshipping? So they think the demigods or someone else is supreme, or it doesn't matter. You know, or like this, you know, it's like in a lot of Hindu, they have everybody there. You know, he says, it was Prabhupada was saying that during World War II, then what, he went to somebody's house, and on his altar with everybody else, he had a picture of Hitler. And he says, why do you have him on the altar? He says, because of him, I'm making so much money. So he was, you know, also, you know, offering his prayers there, you know. So that's the thing, is that technically that's there. And then you have the categories. So we see it's not by pious, because when it mentions you see any demigod and all, that means they're following the Shastras or worshipping these demigods or doing it properly. So the Panchopashana, the Smartas, and things like that. So that's the thing. So you have those that will be... So now that's just the nature, but then you see those who then go against... You know, so it's one thing is you don't know and you're doing like this, and then when you come in contact, then it's okay, then you consider. Like we see Prakashananda Saraswati. He's a, you know, hardcore Mayavadi, but when he comes in contact with Lord Chaitanya, then we see immediately he adjusts. But if they oppose it and go against it, and especially when they start their own, you know, things about it, their own, what do you call it? The only one thing that comes to mind is a dharna, you know, crusade. Yeah, they start their own crusades and things like that. That's when they take on fully, their prashandiness blooms, you know, yes, and they get the full benefits. So the point is that someone takes up devotional service, is trying their best, even they have problems, make mistakes, act on the bodily platform, that doesn't make them a prashandi. Prashandi means that consciously you don't accept these things. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. You know, people make mistakes, this and that, and so that's there. And even if devotees do something wrong or don't follow the direction of the spiritual master, but when it's brought up, pointed out, then they may adjust it and life moves on. You know, people make mistakes. You know, but it needs to be corrected. So
we need to accept to be corrected.
Yes, we need to be accepted to be corrected. So that's there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there. And everyone became ecstatic with love of God. Finally, they all returned to their homes. Verses 128 to 158. Balabhadra Bhattacharya becomes overwhelmed by the growing crowd. 218, 128 to 134. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for some days in Akrura Tirtha. He delivered everyone there simply by distributing the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love for the Lord. The Brahmana disciple of Madhavendra Puri went from house to house in Mathura and inspired other Brahmins to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their homes. Thus, all the respectable people of Mathura, headed by the Brahmins, came to Balabhadra Bhattacharya and extended invitations to the Lord. In one day, 10 to 20 invitations were received, but Balabhadra Bhattacharya would accept only one of them. Since not everyone got an opportunity to offer invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, those who did not requested the Sanodiya Brahmana to ask the Lord to accept their invitations. The Brahmanas from different places, such as Kanyakubja and South India, who were all strict followers of the Vedic religion, offered invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility. In the morning, they would come to Akrura Tirtha and cook food. After offering it to the Shaligram Srila, they offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. There are Brahmanas known as Panchagoda Brahmanas, who come from five places in northern India. And there are Brahmas known as Pancha Dakshinatya Brahmanas, who come from five places in southern India. In north India, the places are Kanyakubja, Saraswata, Goda, Maithila, and Utkala. So these are the old areas like that. In southern India, the places are Andhra, Karnataka, Gujarat, Dravida, and Maharashtra. Right, so it's like that. I mean, those in the south, and then you have then what's up there. Kanyakubja, do you know where that is? So Saraswat will be Marsfordanath, Gaudi will be Bengal, Maithila will be, like that Bihar and that UP area, and that, and Utkal will be Orissa. So those are the Pancha Goda, and then you have the Pancha Dravida. Right. Gujarat is the northernmost part of South India, because that's where Dwarka is. So from Dwarka, then everything expands. Does that make sense? So that's the original, and then Vaikuntha comes out of that. So. Near to Kanpur. Okay, so it's that's that. Kanpur is in UP, no?
Yes,
so that kind of area. Then you have Bihar kind of area. So you have... You'll have, let's see, from this side. You'll have Orissa, the Utkal, then you're going to have Goda, and that whole eastern India thing. Then you're going to have Maithila, which is then that part. Then Kanyakubja will be there, and then Saraswata will be then. So that line is the Aryavarta, what's north of the Vindhya Mountains. Right? And the Dakshina will be south. Kashmir, it might include, but it'll be farther over. It'll be now where it's like in Pakistan now, where the Saraswat River used to be. So that's the thing, is then in this day, then, these things get taken over. So that one gets taken over, then you see Bengal gets split in half, and then even that gets taken over by the communists, stuff like that. The Brahmins from these places are considered to be very strict followers of the Vedic principles, and they are accepted as pure Brahmanas. They strictly observe the Vedic principles and are not polluted by tantric misdeeds. All these Brahmanas respectfully invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. 218-135. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat at the bathing ghat of Akrura Tirtha, and thought the following thoughts. Srila Prabhupada. Akura Tirtha is located on the road between Vrindavan and Mathura. When Krishna and Balaram were being taken to Mathura by Akura, the Lord rested at this place and took his bath in the Jamuna. When Krishna and Balaram took their baths, Akura saw the entire world of Vaikuntha within the water. The inhabitants of Vrindavan also saw the Vaikuntha planets within the water. Right, so Krishna took them. They wanted to, you know, when they know, will we go back to Godhead, will we go to Vaikuntha? So Krishna took them there, so that they could see Vaikuntha, even though they're already in the spiritual world. But you know, they wanted to see. So 2:18, 1:36, 1:45. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, at this bathing place, Akura saw Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and all the inhabitants of Braja saw Goloka Vrindavan. While considering how Akura remained within the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately jumped in and stayed underwater for some time. When Krishna saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drowning, he cried and shouted very loudly. Balabhadra Bhattacharya immediately came and pulled the Lord out. After this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya took the Sanodaya Brahman to a secluded place and consulted with him. Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, since I was present today, it was possible for me to pull the Lord up. But if he starts to drown at Vrindavan, who will help him? Now there is a crowd of people here, and these invitations are causing much disturbance. In addition, the Lord is always ecstatic and emotional. I do not find the situation here very good. It would be good if we could get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan. That is my final conclusion. The Sanodaya Brahman said, let us take him to Prayag and go along the banks of the Ganges. It will be very pleasurable to go that way. After going to the holy place named Sodukshetra and bathing in the Ganges, let us take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that way and go. It is now the beginning of the month of Magh. If we go to Prayag at this time, we shall have an opportunity to bathe for a few days during Makara Sankranti. Because they have those few days that are there. You have on that day, forget what it is on the Ekadasi. There's a few days in there. Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, then I went to Akura to get some peace. There are many peaceful places in Braj. Is there a specific reason why you chose Akura?
That I'm not sure. That I can't say. Because also in Vrindavan, then you get surrounded by the locals there. So it seems that Akura got there were less people. They had to come from somewhere else. Like it said, they all came there, but then they had to go home. Yes. Anywhere else, that's where they live. So there must be something there. You know, it's also the gateway into and all that. Because there is the aspect is that for the Rasik, all these things are wonderful. We have a tendency, no, why isn't he, you know, just sitting at Radhakund or things like that? But that's not how it works. We don't see the gopis always at Radhakund. You know, sometimes there are all these different places all around Vrindavan. So many nice pastimes happen. You know, the pastime at, you know, at noontime when Krishna came dressed up as the Brahman. You know, that happened at Suryakunda. You know, all these different things. So for them, it's about the pastime itself. It's not specifically the for us, the place is sacred because the pastime happened there and that's always going on. But at the same time as they can appreciate all these things and all the rasa connected to Krishna. So then for him it's not a problem. Like that. We may not be as inspired at Akura God, but
no, I was thinking, I mean, you know, again it's me with my mind. I was thinking
me and my mind.
Me and my mind. Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Akura takes him away. From that point on, the separation begins. Lord Chaitanya came to experience this feeling of separation, so he goes back. So that's from where he left Vrindavan. Anyway.
Yeah, good.
If the Acharya hasn't mentioned it, I'm not going there.
Yeah, there's no use. Yeah, because the point is there's so many unlimited moods.
Yeah, of course.
So if you can appreciate, then that's nice. Yeah, because we can't take something too far. And we can't make it that's our identity and now that's our uniqueness because we talk, you know, that we have to... Okay. Srila Prabhupada, bathing during the month of Magh, that the Magh Mela still takes place. This is a very old Mela assembly, dating from time immemorial. It is said that ever since the Lord, in the form of Mohini, took a bucket of nectar and kept it at Prayag, holy men have gathered there every year and observed the Magh Mela. Every 12th year, there is a Kumbh Mela, a great festival, and all the holy men from all over India assemble there. The Brahmana wanted to take advantage of the Magh Mela and bathe there. Bathing at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna, near the fort of Allahabad, Prayag, is mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Maghe Mashe Gami Shyanti Ganga Yamuna Sangamam Gavam Sata Sahasrasya Samyag Dattam Cha Yat Phalam Prayage Magha Mashe Vai Trayaham Snatasya Tat Phalam. One goes to Prayag and bathes at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna. In the month of Magh, he attains the result of giving hundreds and thousands of cows in charity. Simply by bathing for 3 days there, he attains the results of such a pious activity. Because of this, the Sanodaya Brahman is very eager to go to Prayag and bathe. Generally, karmis, fruit of workers, take advantage of bathing there during the month of Magh, thinking that they will be rewarded in the future. Those who are situated in devotional service do not very strictly follow this karmakandiya process. Like, we go to Magh Mela, it's because so many people are there, then you can do nice kirtan and preaching and programs, God distribution. Yeah. And while you're there, you bathe, but, you know. 218, 146 to 150. The Sanodaya Brahman continued, kindly submit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the unhappiness you are feeling within yourself. Then propose that we all go to Prayag on the full moon day of the month of Magh. Tell the Lord of the happiness you will feel in traveling via the bank of the Ganges. Balabhadra Bhattacharya therefore submitted his prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Balabhadra Bhattacharya told the Lord, I can no longer tolerate the disturbance of the crowd. People are coming one after another to offer invitations. Early in the morning people come here, and not seeing you present, they simply tax my brain. I would be very happy if we all leave and take the path by the bank of the Ganges. Then we can have the opportunity of bathing in the Ganges at Prayag during the Makara Sankranti. Srila Prabhupada, there are two great occasions for bathing in the Ganges during the Magh Mela. One is on the day of the dark moon, and the other is on the day of the full moon during the month of Magh. Balabhadra Bhattacharya continued, my mind has become very much agitated, and I cannot bear this anxiety. Now everything rests on the permission of your lordship. I will accept whatever you want to do. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to leave Vrindavan, he began to speak sweet words just to fulfill the desire of his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have brought me here to show me Vrindavan. I am very much indebted to you, and I shall not be able to repay this debt. Whatever you desire, I must do. Wherever you take me, I shall go. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up early. After taking his bath, he became ecstatic with love, knowing that he now had to leave Vrindavan. Although the Lord did not exhibit any external symptoms, his mind was filled with ecstatic love. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, let us go to Mahavan, Gokula. Saying this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit aboard a boat. After they crossed the river, he took the Lord with him. Both Rajaputa Krishnadas and the Sanodaya Brahman knew the path along the Ganges bank very well. Verses 159 to 213. The Patana Vaishnavas. 218, 159 to 166. While walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding that the others were fatigued, took them all beneath a tree and sat down. There were many cows grazing near that tree, and the Lord was very pleased to see them. Suddenly a cowherd boy blew on his flute, and immediately the Lord was struck with ecstatic love. Filled with ecstatic love, the Lord fell to the ground unconscious. He foamed about the mouth, and his breathing stopped. While the Lord is unconscious, 10 cavalry soldiers belonging to the Muslim Patna military order rode up and dismounted. Seeing the Lord unconscious, the soldiers thought, this sannyasi must have possessed a large quantity of gold. These four rogues here must have taken away that sannyasi's riches after killing him by making him take the poison datura. I guess datura will make you foam at the mouth or something. Thinking this, the Patna soldiers arrested the four persons and decided to kill them. Because of this, the two Bengalis began to tremble. Srila Prabhupada, the four persons were Balabhadra Bhattacharya, his assistant Brahmana, Rajaputa Krishnadas, and the Sanodhya Brahman, devotee of Madhavendra Puri. I'm not sure, might be. Yeah, because because it says Rajput, because they're kings. He's not going to be worried. 218, 167 to 190. The devotee Krishnadas, who belonged to the Rajputa race, was very fearless. The Sanodhya Brahman was also fearless, and he spoke very bravely. The Brahman said, you Patana soldiers are all under the protection of your king. Let us go to your commander and get his decision. The sannyasi is my spiritual master, and I am from Mathura. I am a Brahmana, and I know many people who are in the service of the Muslim king. The sannyasi sometimes falls unconscious due to the influence of a disease. Please sit down here, and you will see that he will very soon regain consciousness and his normal condition. Right? So they're fearless, so they just say, you know, don't worry. He's already pointing out he knows a lot of people and this and that, so that's going to be something to be impressive. Then he also points out is that in any case, you know, he has this, it happens to him. You just sit down here, and you wait, you'll see he'll get up. Right, so to say that, you know, then the Pada, okay, let's see. Sit down here for a while and keep us all under arrest. It means we're not going, you know, you have us arrested, we'll sit here. When the sannyasi regains his senses, you can question him. Then if you like, you can kill us all. The Patana soldiers said, you are all rogues. One of you belongs to the western lands, one to the district of Mathura, and the other two who are trembling belong to Bengal. Right? No, okay. Rajaputa Krishnadas said, I have my home here, and I also have about 200 Turkish soldiers and about 100 cannons. If I call loudly, they will come immediately to kill you and plunder your horses and saddles. The Bengali pilgrims are not rogues. You are rogues, for you want to kill the pilgrims and plunder them. Upon hearing this challenge, the Patana soldiers became hesitant. Then suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained consciousness. Coming to his senses, the Lord very loudly began chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari. The Lord raised his arms upward and began to dance in ecstatic love. When the Lord shouted very loudly in ecstatic love, it appeared to the Muslim soldiers that their hearts were struck by thunderbolts. Seized by fear, all the Patana soldiers immediately released the four persons. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not see his personal associates arrested. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and made him sit down. Seeing the Muslim soldiers, the Lord regained his normal senses. All the Muslim soldiers then came before the Lord, worshipped his lotus feet, and said, here are four rogues. These rogues have made you take datura. Having made you mad, they have taken all your possessions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these are not rogues. They are my associates. Being a sannyasi beggar, I do not possess anything. Due to epilepsy, I sometimes fall unconscious. Out of their mercy, these four men maintained me. Among the Muslims was a grave person who was wearing a black dress. People called him a saintly person. The heart of that saintly person softened upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to talk to him and establish impersonal Brahman on the basis of his own scripture, the Quran. When that person tried to establish the impersonal Brahman conception of the absolute truth on the basis of the Quran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refuted his argument. Whatever arguments he put forward, the Lord refuted them all. Finally, the person became stunned and could not speak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Quran certainly establishes impersonalism, but at the end it refutes that impersonalism and establishes the personal God. The Quran accepts the fact that ultimately there is only one God. He is full of opulence and his bodily complexion is blackish. Right, so it'll establish that. But, you know, as we see in the other things, people just take that part and leave the rest, just like the impersonalists. They take the oneness aspects and leave the dual aspects. Right? So you know, they'll do the same thing. Srila Prabhupada, the revealed scripture of the Muslims is the Quran. There's one Muslim sampradaya known as the Sufis. The Sufis accept impersonalism, believing in the oneness of the living entity with the absolute truth. Their supreme slogan is Analak. The Sufi sampradaya was certainly derived from Shankara's impersonalists. Right, so then you take that aspect and mix it with the Shankara, and you end up. 218, 191, and 194. Yeah, so I guess if you take the Islam and mix it with Shankara, then you get these guys. But somehow or another, they're also, you know, very sentimental and that kind of thing. 218, 190, 194. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, according to the Quran, the Lord has a supreme, blissful, transcendental body. He is the absolute truth, the all-pervading, omniscient, and eternal being. He is the origin of everything. Creation, maintenance, and dissolution come from him. He is the original shelter of all gross and subtle cosmic manifestations. The Lord is the supreme truth, worshipable by everyone. He is the cause of all causes. By engaging in his devotional service, the living entity is relieved from material existence. No conditioned soul can get out of material bondage without serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Love at his lotus feet is the ultimate goal of life. Srila Prabhupada, according to the Muslim scripture, without avadat, offering prayers at a mosque or elsewhere 5 times daily, namaz, one cannot be successful in life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that in the revealed scripture of the Muslims, love of Godhead is the ultimate goal. Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are certainly described in the Quran, but ultimately the Quran states that the ultimate goal is the offering of prayers to the Supreme Person, Avadat. Right? So he's pointing out how they're doing and what this means. You know, it means you have the aspects of doing your work nicely and getting those benefits by the Lord's grace. You have the aspect of freeing yourself from the material entanglement and all that. These things are there, but the actual point is to surrender to the Lord. Right? And since he says at the end it's revealed that how he is a person and all that, so you're actually supposed to surrender to that person.
Now it seems that the Muslims, they present many that God has no form.
Yes, that's right. I mean, so it means all these. You see, Hindus will do that, Muslims will do that, Jews, Christians, they'll all do that. They'll talk about the personal, but if you get into it, then they'll say he's impersonal. So when you start, instead of moving forward into the final points, then they'll move backwards into the other aspects. Because that's what they can relate to. So unless you have association of those who have that devotion, you won't catch that. So in other words, the Karmakanda and the Jnanakanda aspects, that they'll catch because they associate with others who've appreciated that aspects of the scripture. So unless they meet the sampradayic Vaishnavs, then they won't necessarily catch this.
It seems here that Chaitanya is presenting very clear pure bhakti.
Yes. The point is you can always do that. We think, oh, you have to go around here and there. But you just, because that's what everything is talking about. It's just that you have to catch. I mean, it's just like the whole point is about your attitude and devotion towards God, you know. But because people don't really care about that, okay, then you take, you know, one loaf of bread and feed the whole community. Then people start to listen to you, But the problem is they don't still don't really want to know about God so much. You know, you can talk in, you know, because it was the thing at the time, you talked in parables. You know, in kind of like, what do you call it? They're like poetic, but at the same time as they're like almost like riddles. You know, they're harder to understand. That was just how people talked at that time when they got, you know, philosophical or, you know.
Very, very prophetic.
Yeah. Prophetic, you know, so they would get into that. That was just the way. And so then the local acharya, he would speak like that. And so the others also would speak according to what people could understand. You know, they'll reveal the, you know, it's like Prabhupada talks about pure devotion, but he's also encouraging, you know, the varnashram and the communities and all these other aspects. Because for the pure devotees, they use all that in Krishna's service. But someone who's not a pure devotee, by using that connected with Krishna, they'll purify themselves, and then by that association, they'll become pure devotees. But it's not about varnashram. It's not about, you know, all these things. It's about pure devotion. So it's just a matter of someone catches that or not. That's the thing. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is preaching. That's our line. That's what we do. You find the language, you find the medium through which you express it, but the point is you're discussing pure devotion.
But they never show the face even of the prophet. Mm. The face is faceless. Yeah. In Islam. Yeah. When it's covered.
Yeah. No, when they did that movie, it was always of others, or if Muhammad was in the scene, it was from his view.
From his view.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it means that the camera would be Muhammad. So when someone would come up to him and that, you know, he planned to look at him and he'd talk to the camera. Wow. You know, or so I think some guy came along that had been offensive. So, you know, it moves away. And then the guy walks around and then it moves back again this way. So, you know, you wouldn't look at him.
So not only you can't see the face of the prophet, but the prophet heard from God, not directly, but through Andrew Gabriel. So, you know, from God to Gabriel, from Gabriel to the prophet, anything can happen.
So no, yeah, but at the same time as there, that's fairly direct. You don't have to worry about that. It'll be from Muhammad to who's following him, where... Because otherwise, how do you get the you know, the Sunnis and the Shiites, and they don't like each other? Yeah. So I mean, this is because we get into these things, we create the party feeling. You know, it's like that. Everything. You know, amongst the Christians, this group doesn't like that group. Even within the same group, they don't like each other. You know, like that. So you all have that. Buddhists also. They have, I think, three or four different groups. You know, Mahayan, Hinayan, Terayan. Six. Oh, okay, getting more. I think they fall into those categories, but that's their philosophy, is Mahayan, Hinayan, and this. But then you're going to have your practices. So Tibetan will have more tantric in it. The other ones, I think, have less tantric stuff. Yeah, so you're always good, because that's because of us. We take it that the externals are the main thing, rather than the attitude. And so we follow this because this is what the acharyas have given. You know, it has nothing to do with our background or conditioning. You know, does that make sense? Because otherwise, everybody, you know, goes back to, you know, the Vedic culture. You know, Bharatvarsha was the whole planet, and just with time, it becomes less and less. Like even in India, you know, you go back 200 years, it was much bigger, and then it gets smaller and smaller. Like that, you know. So, you know, before Malaya Hills were all part of the scene, you know. They haven't been part of the scene for a while, you know. So like that, you know, it's all that. So it gets smaller and smaller. Prabhupada said, eventually it'll just be UP, you know. Uttar Pradesh, they'll be the only ones that identify as Bharat. Everybody else will be something else. You know. So, you know, it'll be Bharatvarsha. You know, what is it? The Punjabis had their thing. What was it? Khalistan. But their stan.
Khalistan.
Yeah. Like that. And probably Bengal will also be Khalistan, but a slightly different spelling. like that, and you know, Tamil Nadu will be Sambar Stan, you know, like that, you know, like that, like that, you know. So you know, everything will be its own place, but only UP. So this whole thing is, oh, we're not from there. No, everybody is from here.
Sambar is the son of Kartikeya,
it's called Sambar. Oh, okay. Yeah, Sambar style. And then you have over the other side of the hills, then you have, what's it? The
Ayyappa.
Ayyappa? Yeah. You know. Yeah, so therefore, pure devotional service is the only thing that's actually universal and is actually safe to preach. That you, because the idea is, if you keep it above the conditioning, then there's nothing, there's no, how do you say, samskars, negative samskars to have a problem with it. You just deal with the thing that, you know, as you hear, according to the Quran, the Lord is supreme, blissful, transcendental body, absolute truth, all-pervading, omniscient, eternal being, origin of everything, creation, maintenance, and dilution come from Him. He is the original shelter of all gross and subtle cosmic manifestations. The Lord is the supreme truth, worshipable by everyone. He is the cause of all causes. Right? No one of any Abrahamic can complain about this.
Yes.
You know? You talk this, what can they say? They generally don't talk this. You know? By engaging in his devotional service, the living entity is relieved from material existence. No conditioned soul can ever get out of material bondage without serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Love at his lotus feet is the ultimate goal of life. No one can complain about that. You know, who he is, who we are, what is our relationship. Very, very nice. So that's the thing. You talk like this, no one will have any problems. Like that. Because this is Saddharma. Then they have to apply this in whatever position they're taking from. So in this case, the Muslims, then in their position, how they're, then the point is it should be for developing love for God. It shouldn't be for material benefit. It shouldn't be for impersonalism. Right? That's the Vaishnava position. Right? Does that make sense? Then there's going to be your following the religious processes that are given, you know, as recommended in by the Vaishnava lines that are given in the Vedic literatures. But the technically speaking, if there's understanding about the Lord and that surrender to the Lord and all that, then all these Abrahamic, they're all Vaishnavas. You know, just not so developed in their philosophy or understanding or determination and all that. You know, but you know, sadhana is not so developed. But the point is it's still, that's the position. Does that make sense? So as a philosophy, it would be Vaishnava. As a religion, then they are whatever they are. You know, we're Vaishnava by philosophy and religion.
The religion speaks about love for God.
Yes.
Can you compare it to the Shraddha Kutrama?
Well, I think
that,
so it means they're only talking about that you should develop, so it's very generic. They don't know the science.
Right.
You know, I'm saying, so. Okay, something's going on.
This is final.
Oh, this is the final today?
Yes.
Okay, it's big, okay. Okay, and then the winner gets a bucket of, how you say, muslim mud or something?
Bosta.
A bosta, oh, not even a bucket, a bosta, yeah.
When
is
the TV,
it's
my
Apple
TV.
Huh?
When is the TV, it's my Apple TV.
My Apple TV is one of them, okay. So not just sitting on their backsides, you know, running the TV. Okay.
They win against the Gurukul. They go.
Oh, okay.
Gurukul
Vas. Gurukul Vas. Yeah, we have other things to do.
One with tools. Huh? Two boys from the group. That's it. Everybody else from any other group possible.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, what to do? Is that okay?
Mm.
So the point is what Lord Chaitanya is saying in these verses, 218, 191, and 194, and these other things like that, you know, before this, this is what you could use on anybody. It's just that you would, you know, he's talking about in the Quran, the Bible will be saying the same thing, you know. So, you know, especially the Old Testament, the old, you know, the new, you have to work a little harder. Yes?
It seems that Abrahamic, they don't go beyond Dasya. Dasya
no.
is their idea and very, like you mentioned, not very developed, not scientific. Like
yes.
our Dasya has a lot of details in it.
Yes, yes.
But their Dasya is just Dasya, it's a service.
Service,
what
yeah.
kind of service? Any kind. If you ask them, they can't give you any details.
No. But mentality, I'd say they're even more like Shanta.
Yes, but yeah, that's what.
But the idea is they would be servants, but they're servants basically as just appreciating God's
exactly.
position, because mm-hmm. no one ever talks about what service they would do to God. But there is that appreciation of the Supreme. So that
Shanta.
Yeah, yeah. So it's more like Shanta.
Because if He's Almighty, what service does He need? He doesn't need our service basically, but it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
As a concept.
Yeah, because they're not fully taking it forward. You know, at best, you're talking about the Paramatma aspect. So they just, he's the supreme, the marginal qualities.
Yeah.
They're not actually getting to the Sarup. Because otherwise, even there's a hinted at the Sarup, is that they're walking with God. So that means, what are they doing? You know, you walk, you're going to talk, you're going to this, that, they hang out with him. You know? So that means there must be more going on. You know? I don't think Adam and Eve were specifically migrant workers who were there to pick apples.
Huh?
Oh, I have to send you a thing. So there's one thing where you have did I tell you? Or maybe you sent. Yeah, you have what do you call it? Adam and Eve there, and there's the tree and the apple, and then the snake is there. And then, you know, the comment is, it's organic. Yeah. I think it would have been better if a snake had said it, though.
More
original. Yeah.
So, at the core of this Abrahamic religion, like we have the Orthodox Muslim doctrines, the Orthodox, the Sufis, by the Christians or the Jews, does that mean that on the highest level of their realization they reach Vaikuntha?
I would think, because their point is just to get to heaven. So
is heavenly planets.
Yes. Like that. Chutananda once was saying that they'll go to Jara Loka.
Which one?
He said Jara Loka. I'm not sure what it was.
Jana Loka.
Huh?
Jana Loka.
Oh, Jana Loka. Oh, maybe it was Jana Loka. But because I think he was saying that the man's from there. Because he's in the court of Brahma. You know, so like that. You know, so it's just, they may, those aspects, the point is that because it's not so clear, what are they going to remember at the time of death? So if unless they're remembering the Lord, they won't be transferred to the spiritual world. And how will they have a clear understanding of that unless they contact those who have more understanding?
Yeah.
You know, a more pure understanding of devotional service. But it doesn't mean that those who are as sincere about it don't come in contact and therefore move forward in it. You know. So those who are serious, then they come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's mission. You know, like you see here, these Patana Vaishnavas.
Yes.
They hear it, they discuss the philosophy, then they're convinced, then they take up Vaishnava. Because it's just a progression. You know, it's like saying, oh no, it's something different. That's like saying going from grade school up to the next levels is different. No. It's a matter of just, you know, how seriously you want to take. Yes?
Also, I met a few years ago a Muslim guy. And then they are like part of some like New Agey Muslim groups also.
New Agey Muslim? How original, right?
Too. So then what he was speaking, then a few examples when he started speaking, actually, they are speaking from Prabhupada's books.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting.
You guys in Muslim groups, they don't want to identify themselves with any of these terrorist organizations.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they
you have to be careful. Yeah, good. So in other words, we don't need to speak on these things. We can speak on Gita and things like that. But we just establish the points. But the point is that they can see where it is, that you just have to find what works. Like there's that whole discussion, I think it's in Melbourne, the Prabhupada with those local priests.
Yes.
It was that monastery up the road. I don't think the monastery is there anymore. But it was there at the time. I think there were like 12 priestlets or something in the order. It was like they were the last of that order on the planet, you know. And so he spoke there and everything. It was just down the street from the temple. And so then he just spoke about love of God and this and that. And he appreciated it.
Yeah, he said, you love the priest, you love the priest, you love the priest, you love the priest. And said, yes, so we are brothers. We are brothers. Proper appreciation.
Yeah.
Position.
Yeah, because just seeing it all connection, it's nice. It has it. So you have the philosophical understanding, the spiritual understanding, of the moralistic understanding, or the religious understanding, and so, you know, whatever is correct is correct, and whatever is wrong is wrong. So it's not that once one thing's correct, therefore, for everything's correct, or one thing's wrong, therefore everything's wrong. So you take whatever is useful, and then from there build and move forward.
You know, it's interesting, every year, more and more, you know, you see how devotees in ISKCON, they're so much identified with Christmas and with Christianity. And the Christian in them comes out so strongly, you know? Jesus is the only Son of God, you know, he's a pure divine of Krishna.
I think for some it's just about presence.
Yeah,
so what is God? What do we call? How do you say?
No,
how do you say Joseph?
Joseph.
Joseph. What is God? Joseph Christos. So it's a Joseph Christos Abhubhav Titi. Yeah, I mean, see if these things come out. If that's the mood, you know, then yeah. You know, if it's how you say, amongst the devotees, every day is a festival. This is just one more festival you can have, then that's another thing. I mean, yeah, everyone has to see. As long as you know, serve the Vaishnavas and this and that, then you know, there'll always be benefit. But one has to be careful. So that means somebody won. Another festival. Every day. Okay. Either that or that's the side who lost. You know. Taking care of the side who won. Okay.
It seems that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really presenting the primary point, love of God.
Yes.
And that in a very direct way, and it can apply to everyone.
Everyone. Well, I mean, if you take it that we're the soul, not the body, we're servant of the Lord. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, or just you know whatever it is. Yes. The absolute truth is the supreme personality. The Lord is the supreme absolute, and our business is to serve. That's our, you know, core essence of the thought. Why that can apply to anybody?
Yes.
That's the thing is, if you deal there, you don't have the problem. The difficulty is that sometimes in the New Agey they want to come up through these mediums that they think will be more attractive,
yes.
And then they get stuck in that medium, yes. Rather than you know the medium's there. You may be whatever you're doing, but then when you talk, then you talk above that. And then people can get attracted up to it. Because otherwise, if you're going to use the medium, unless you're really good at the medium, then, you know, I mean, unless you're an expert yogi, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how are you going to attract them through that? But then the problem is they're going to be attracted just by the yoga. And then, you know, if they don't get time in their day, in their sadhana to do yoga, then, they may not be so inspired. So you have to be able to, that's the thing, is you work above, and then they see how to connect, and then... But otherwise, if you want to take that whole thing along with you, that might be very difficult. You know, people talk, well, we just bring them to the level of sattva, and like, but who's in sattva? Who's in the level of sattva to bring them to sattva? You know, what's the reason you don't talk directly? Not because of sattva. That's duties. Because of passion, you're worried about your position, and they'll follow. Oh, if we say that, they'll all go away. And it's kind of like, so having them around, that's a goal, that's a profit, that's a, you know, what you want to get. So then that's motive passion. So then that becomes the difficulty. Then you're saying you're going to elevate people to goodness? So no, but we bring them to pure goodness, and in the meantime, goodness comes along with it as a side benefit. On the house. So that's the thing. Then you use your intelligence to see how to apply that. You know, Prabhupada would speak very directly. Just like you just saw one thing, is that a reporter came, and the reporter wasn't very so favorable. You know, they were that kind of, you know, snarky, find out this and that. Like the Ratha Yatra, and while on that, some devotee had talked about how while the Ratha Yatra is going on, all the demigods are there showering flowers, but, you know, we're not qualified to see. And so this is the first question that the journalist asked, you know, because thinking, okay, we've got a story here, we can, you know, just take it right out in left field here. He says, you know, so is that true? And he says, yes, but because you're envious of the spiritual master, you can't see them. And they didn't say anything after that, and they wrote, you know, an okay review. So that's the thing. Prabhupada would speak straight. He wouldn't get involved in all these things. So that's because he doesn't have attachment for these things. You know, but as Prabhu mentioned, we have attachment for these things, so then we get...
And we can lose devotee like that.
Yeah. Have to be careful. They'll be back.
Yes, yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.